You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Scott Angle, Greg Sussman here with you. Good discussion there. About Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. And remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. Free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Now, on the other side of that Minnesota game, you had the Washington football franchise, where Kirk Cousins, my man, threw for over 320 yards, threw a touchdown, rushed for two more, and had a very, very productive fantasy day. And it would have been even bigger if Jamison Crowder didn't drop a billion passes, Josh Doctson didn't slip. It could have been even a bigger day for Captain Kirk.
Yeah, that was a terrible play by Crowder in the end zone. But hey, look, Kirk Cousins, he's been getting it done. He's finally going to get paid. The man deserves to be paid. And he gets, I mean, people don't really seem to maybe not realize, but every season he seems to have like a handful of rushing touchdowns.
Absolutely. He can move. He's one of these guys you talk about like Carson Wentz, Scott. That Kirk Cousins is not just this a guy in quicksand back there. He has the ability to move around.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he showed up against a really, really good defense. And you know, he's taken what's available to him. You know, you saw Terrell Pryor not even get targeted yesterday, but Crowder starting to step forward. Cousins is doing just a really, really good job of being comfortable with this team. I think Washington's going to regret it if they let him go. And I think yesterday he kind of proved and Corey was saying, as much to his credit, that a lot of people look in the matchup and say, should I start Eli? Should I start Fitzpatrick? You know, guys like that. Should I start McCown? And he outproduced all of them. That's why, you know, yesterday I was talking about matchup over analysis. Like, you can look at Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jets. Josh McCown against the Jets is a Buccaneers, a perfect example. It was a golden matchup. People were asking me, McCown or Cousins? Are you sure about it? I said, I'm still going with Cousins. He is the better fantasy quarterback, because with guys like McCown, Fitzpatrick, and even Keenum, you know, the bottom could drop out at any time, I think.
You had another injury to a running back in this game as Rob Kelly left this game hurt. So Samaje Perine once again came back into existence, and Scott bows his head to that one. Nine carries for 35 yards. Chris Thompson also had 9 carries, 26 yards. He was involved in the passing game, obviously. Kirk Cousins put a bad throw on it. He would have had a touchdown to Chris Thompson. Didn't happen. 3 for 41. Let's talk about Jamison Crowder, though, for a moment, gentlemen, because Jamison Crowder was left for dead by all of us. He's come alive here. 4 for 76. He had 11 targets on the day. As I said, he dropped a touchdown or two. Jamison Crowder very much involved alongside Vernon Davis, who was the number one option in this offense. 11 targets for him, 7 for 76, Matt.
Yeah, Vernon Davis is the man. And Jordan Reed, it's unfortunate that his body just keeps betraying him. But, you know, Vernon Davis, you have him on your team, you got to start him.
Hey, Scotty, did you say you were sorry for calling you out, but you said you were telling people Josh McCown versus Kirk Cousins to start Kirk Cousins? Was that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh McCown was 5 spots higher in your lineup ranks than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I didn't adjust him yesterday before the game.
We'll take a break. We will get to the New Orleans Saints live on YouTube next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Happening. It's Wall Street, Matt Modica. It's the king. Very, very comfortable leaning back in his chair.
He thinks he's in his recliner at all.
Must.
No, I'm on my throne.
You see X Racer throne.
Dilly Dilly? What's going on?
Dilly Dilly. Way too much Dilly Dilly going on in this station.
My wife told me last night, stop saying that. I don't even like that.
It's way too much.
It's in my head. I hear it all the damn time.
That's good marketing.
Too much Dilly Dilly at this station.
I did get it back, though. As I was going to sleep, I texted Dilly Dilly.
I love that. It's very funny. By the way, the BFFs, we're going to stop saying that. It's been overplayed now. All right. Hey, what's happening? We're here with you to talk a little bit about the New Orleans Saints and what to expect. We're back in Washington in a moment. There's a couple of other things I want to get into there. So we'll get back to that coming out in a few on the radio. But we want to talk about the New Orleans Saints and their destruction of the Buffalo Bills. Matt, I told you last week I really liked the Bills in this game with the points. I thought it was a tough spot for the Saints to go into Buffalo. Buffalo team that had the mini bye, got beaten by the Jets. I thought it was a really nice spot for Buffalo to rebound, and they got absolutely shellacked by a Saints running game. Drew Brees threw the ball just 25 times, not a single touchdown, a single interception, took a single sack. The Saints on the day, 6 rushing touchdowns. Incredible.
It's really unbelievable what happened yesterday. It was just the Bills got stampeded. I mean, it's crazy. If you look at this post AP trade, the last 5 games in a PPR, Mark Ingram has 111.9 points and Alvin Kamara has 101 points. So, I mean, I've been rolling both these guys out in the New York Super. I have them both. I've had them rolled out for the last 5 weeks. It's been a godsend. And I don't really see it changing. This offense has evolved into a run first or a short passing game. You still have Michael Thomas, and look, he's not blowing things up, but he gets it done every week too, for the most part. I know people might have had a higher expectation, but I mean, the guy's really living around 15 points every week. So,
Scott, I want to ask you this. Interestingly enough, Melvin Gordon, Alvin Kamara have both gotten it done, as Matt pointed out, since the Adrian Peterson trade. But when we looked at the trade, at least I was like, listen, Adrian Peterson had his couple of carries a game, never more than a handful. Why has that been such a big deal to getting this ground game where it is now?
It's a mental thing. It's an intangible thing. Because they felt like, why is this guy here? Why did they acquire the guy? I'm speculating, but this is what I can read from the situation. Why is this guy here? You know, we're here. We can do the job. Why do they feel the need to bring in this guy when a lot of other teams passed on him? And then they kicked him out the door. And now you have two guys who obviously like playing with each other, and they complement each other so well. I love running back. It's my favorite position to watch in the NFL, okay? From an overall position-by-position perspective. These two guys, I watched a lot of this game. They were a thrill to watch, A, if you're a football fan, and B, if you're a fan from a fantasy perspective. Now, coming into the game, I believe they had 1,383 combined yards from scrimmage, which was the most in the NFL, okay? You watched Ingram yesterday. The way he was breaking tackles and carrying people on his back was marvelous. And then Kamara, his ability to make people miss and his tremendous balance, vision, and the way he's so versatile. This is marvelous from both a fantasy and a real NFL perspective. I truly believe right now, sorry Eagle fans, that this is the best team in the NFC, and these two running backs are a big reason for that.
Here's the thing with AP, going back to him. I think he wasn't taking so many snaps away. It was more like a handful. It was always pretty much under double digits, but it was like offense interrupted. That's the way I looked at it. And teams knew when AP came in, and it was most likely going to be a running play. When you have both these guys out there, or either one of these guys, you don't know if it's run, pass. It makes the offense even more that dynamic.
Mark Ingram, 21 carries on Sunday compared to Alvin Kamara's 12. But Ingram had 131 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Kamara, 106 yards rushing, a touchdown for him. Trey Edmonds basically played the entire fourth quarter. He also had 48 yards rushing on 9 carries. He had a touchdown. And when Drew Brees said, you know what, now I want to throw for one, he went up just scrambling and running one.
Yeah, he did have all day on that.
So, all day.
I mean, that was crazy. But here's the thing. Kareem Hunt right now is the rookie of the year offensively, but Alvin Kamara is on his tail. He's in a PPR. He's only 24.1 points behind him.
Yeah, if we had to vote a fantasy rookie of the year today, it would be a very, very tough decision. This team is so balanced right now. Like, Michael Thomas had a big day. The only disappointment on this roster, you know, might be is Kobe Fleener, you know, from a fantasy perspective.
Willie Snead as well.
Yeah, Willie Snead. Yeah, that too. It's like I've almost forgot about him. But I was seeing Fleener, like, too, drop a pass yesterday. Yeah, so.
I think the Saints forgot about Willie Snead as
well. Well, they need a guy like they don't. The offense has changed. The offense has changed in a major way. And I think if you look at New Orleans' receiving game yesterday, you're right, Nat. Like, Michael Thomas, reliable. I mean, he's going to do his thing. Maybe not going to get in the end zone, but he's going to do his thing. 9 for 117 on 10 targets. No one's complaining about that. 20 points to PPR. No one's going to say a word. But on the other side, you had Ted Ginn, who had become relatively reliable, just targeted one time, caught the pass for 3 yards, and that's it.
That's why this team is so dangerous.
Because both ways.
Because, especially from an NFL perspective, because they don't have to use Ginn, but when, you know, especially in the playoffs, when teams are like focusing on stopping these running backs, all of a sudden, boom, you know, you throw something downfield to Ginn. Like, this team is so balanced right now. And, you know, like you say about Thomas, you know, 20 points, and he still didn't have a bust out day. This team relies on its running backs right now. It's so very interesting to see. It's two RB1s on the same team. That's very, very rare to see.
Which people expect, like, I heard a lot, the Saints are due. You got to be cautious with the gambler's fallacy. Because this team is just rolling. They're going to lose a game sooner or later,
yeah.
But I'm not just going to say they're going to lose. The reason I thought it'd be a lot tougher. I said that. I thought the Saints would win, but the reason I thought the Saints would still win yesterday is there's just too much talent on that team compared to the Bills team. And if Josh Hill didn't fumble that ball in the 10 early on, it would have been even worse early on. So, I mean, the Bills. Opportunistic defense kept them in the game for a little bit longer than they should have been.
Speaking of Buffalo, as you said, a shellacking, a just complete, utter, dominating takedown by the Saints against the Buffalo Bills. What happened to Buffalo? What went wrong here?
I think what made the Bills successful in those first 7 games was, you know, the turnovers that they were able to get. Very opportunistic. They played a little over their heads. They didn't show up versus the Jets, and that they couldn't do. That was a game they could not afford not to show up. The short week on the road. But look, they play in Buffalo. They came down to Jersey. It wasn't like they were going cross country and stuff like that. And look, the Saints are 7-2. But they're 7-2 for a reason. They're, you know, very balanced. They have a, like I said, this secondary has become stout. And, you know, Mark Lattimore is, you know, he is evolving into an NFL star.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, the Saints play the Rams. And the winner of that team is going to be considered like a real strong NFC contender. I am looking forward to that. You can't forget the Rams, of course, when you talk about the NFC contenders. But of a fantasy perspective, right now you got two running backs. You just plug them and forget about it. You know, it's not even the wonderful thing about it is you can't say that Mark Ingram is exclusively the goal line back, because inside the 10-yard line they find a way to get the ball to Kamara too.
They do, but it's nice seeing him get that hat trick.
Oh yeah, it's what's beautiful about it is. Is that okay? They have 3-1 day. You know, they could have Ingram could have 2, and Kamara could have 1. You know, they set a franchise record for rushing touchdowns. Even the third stringer got a touchdown.
I got some pushback in the preseason when I was trying to point out that the reason I liked Kamara was in the past the Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles role in New Orleans has been very profitable in fantasy. And look, I didn't think Kamara was going to be this good. If I did, I would have drafted him a few rounds earlier than where I was taking him. But hey, the opportunity's there. Sean Payton loves this kid too. He just drools over him every time he speaks.
Yeah, Kamara even said something, I think, publicly when Peterson left. To me, it's more of the old Pierre Thomas role, because Pierre Thomas was a runner and receiver, whereas Sproles was like more of a pass catcher. But look, you know, to Matt's point, Sean Payton has always wanted to feature more than one running back, and finally he's dropped his chip for Mark Ingram, and look at the beautiful results we get from it.
Yeah, he's been absolutely stellar for New Orleans, a team that, as we said, 7-2 and just rolling right along a couple of weeks. I know there's a push by some on Twitter, on social media, to make that New Orleans-LA game that you mentioned, the Sunday Night Football, instead of Green Bay-Pittsburgh, which we thought would be a great matchup, and now it's just like, eh.
I have to assume that's going to happen.
I have to assume so, too.
They can't be that stupid.
You know, it's Brett Hundley on a Sunday night instead of this. Come on.
I know. But, you know, those franchises, Green Bay and Pittsburgh, we'll see. We'll see what NBC decides to do if they flex out that game for New Orleans and Los Angeles. All right, we'll take a break. I'll come back. We'll get back to the Washington franchise. And Scotty wanted to make a point as well. And we'll talk a lot more football. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We'll be back a little bit later on. But next on the radio, more Washington Redskins talk. Next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back live with you. And we're talking about Washington here. I feel like we didn't get enough of a chance to totally go into it. But Jameson Crowder, I think if he's out there, you gotta go get him. Again, I think he's back on that radar. Josh Doctson, even though he had only 4 for 30, 7 targets, Kirk Cousins, Matt, was not afraid to go to him, even though roads were closed.
Yeah, look, Cousins is a good quarterback. Doctson, maybe it doesn't happen this year. I think he is the future.
I think so, too.
What I find really confounding is that the Browns made a trade offer for Terrell Pryor, and Washington didn't want to do it. They're not using Pryor and stuff, so like, I don't know.
Wasn't even targeted yesterday.
That was like, interesting.
The guy off the practice squad made a beautiful catch yesterday, and look, I think Cousins is a must start. I was getting questions. I meant Fitzpatrick versus Cousins, and I was telling people you can't start Fitzpatrick just based on a matchup. But I wasn't willing to make the Eli Manning recommendation either. Eli ended up with an okay day because he saved himself in garbage time, but he didn't play well against the 49ers yesterday. So yeah, sometimes we overanalyze the matchups. It's not just about the matchup. I'm not saying anybody at this table necessarily, because I was getting listeners and Twitter followers saying to me, "You sure about this? I mean, look at the matchup for Cousins." I'm like, I'm sticking him in there, man. It's like, you know, I think he showed a lot of metal last week in Seattle, and he ended up with 2 rushing touchdowns.
Can we say Eli hasn't played good in a year and a half? So let's just be honest there. Yeah. I mean, look, his career was very good. He got 2 Super Bowl wins and all that. But it's time for the Giants to move on.
It's not the Giants regime change, indeed. They got blown out, really, by San Francisco, 31-21, the first win of the Kyle Shanahan era. If we thought, last week against the Rams was rock bottom for this team, that wasn't. This was losing to a winless team. The Giants now 1-8. The Niners are sitting 1-9. But that means the Giants are well on their way to getting that second pick now. Climbing that ladder, baby!
They'll be top 3 for sure, but it's great. Just another awful, awful performance. Missed assignments, poor tackling, etc. Offensively, Sterling Shepard had a terrific day. You see more of that. You know you can rely on him and Ingram, but it was a lot of people, especially in Daly, rolled out Olean's Darkwa. But, the danger of it, when you use any Giants running back, Darkwa runs well. He averaged well over 4 yards per carry, but he got scripted.
Yeah, he unfortunately, you're right. Darko ran well, 5 yards a carry, as you just mentioned, Scott. And he ran well against a defense that has given up a ton of points and a ton of yards to running backs. But ultimately, the game script, which is not in his favor, San Francisco was seemingly blowing out the Giants. I know it was seemingly all game long. I know it was 20-13 going, or 17-13 rather, going into that last quarter, but it felt like San Francisco was ahead all game.
Yeah, they came out like Carlos Hyde ripped off a sizable run to begin the game.
Yep.
Had a good day running the ball. Didn't have to catch passes yesterday because they really weren't playing from behind. Emotional day for Marquise Goodwin. It was nice to see him score a touchdown after what he had to go through, which was just terrible. I'm sure everybody's thoughts and prayers in the fantasy community go out to him and his family.
Yeah, we had no idea. You saw him pray for quite a while. You had no idea exactly what was going on. And you saw that, and it was super, super sad to watch that and happy to hit for him to get that touchdown. But as Scott mentioned, Carlos Hyde comes out, gets the long run almost immediately. I believe it was a 28-yard run.
Yep.
And then Carlos Hyde finishes with 98 yards on the ground. And Matt Breida on a drive he happened to be in on. And it was literally change of pace, back up to Carlos Hyde. He ran spry, and you knew it. He almost broke loose for a touchdown. Very next play, they gave it right back to him, and he did break loose for that 33-yard touchdown. Breida looked really, really fast yesterday. Nice little change of pace to Carlos Hyde. Nothing to worry about if you're Carlos Hyde owner, but Brady looked quick.
You know, Brady's looked good, and I think the one thing that's going to look, I'm a Carlos Hyde owner. I know you are. We liked him a lot in the preseason as well. I think what's going to save him is when they make this Jimmy Garoppolo transition after the bye.
So we
assume. I think that has to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that he's not going to play this year. Yeah. If you're going to have to make an investment on this guy, you have to see him. And I think you want Hyde out there. You want the veteran out there. Not that Breida won't get anything touches or anything like that. But I know people will worry that Breida, we got to see what Breida is. I think they have an idea what Breida is. And he'll get touches and stuff like that. But if you're going to put a guy for your future and stuff, you want to see him with a veteran running back. And look, Carlos Hyde, the one hurdle he's always had to get past is his health.
And this year, thus far...
Yeah, the talent's always been there.
Absolutely. It has been there. By the way, for everyone that I told to start Garrett Celek this week, you're damn welcome.
That was a great tweet.
Great tweet.
That's awesome. Good call by you. Isn't that 10 consecutive games now, I think, a tight end has scored against the Giants?
Every game this year, yeah. Giants.
Who do they play next week?
I actually looked this up. They play Kansas City. It's a lock for Travis Kelce.
Oh, Travis Kelce. Big daily play. RotoExperts.com.
Even the announcer knew it. He's like, the streak lives on.
Yeah.
And, what does Evan Engram and Robbie Anderson have in common?
Scored touchdowns in 4 straight games.
Boom.
There you go. Evan Engram, in fact,
has
scored.
It was serious.
Evan Engram has scored a touchdown in every game since Odell Beckham has been out with his injury. As I said, Engram scored in every one of those games. Scott mentioned Sterling Shepard, who's the number one wide receiver on this team without Beckham. 13 targets yesterday, 11 for 142. Scotty's right. You can start Engram, you can start Shepard with confidence, no problem there. But that's about it.
Yeah, that pretty much, it sums up a very disappointing season for the Giants. And Kansas City should have a field day.
Alex Smith's going to be a top start next week. It's like
so great,
people are going to be running Kansas City stacks on rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Hunt, Hill, Kelce. And Andy Reid off of a bye.
The Giants have seen that plenty, unfortunately. Way too often they have seen that exact scenario. But yeah, so the Niners blow out the Giants 31-21. Good for Kyle Shanahan getting his first win. Poor Hugh, once again, the last team standing without a single win on the year.
Yeah, I think if you look at the end of the first half, that just sums up Cleveland Browns football. It really does. The Browns had plenty of opportunities to win this game, and then, they kept the Lions in it long enough, and the Lions' talent just won out.
Yeah, Cleveland up to a 10-0 lead to start off this game. Tied at 24 going into the fourth quarter, and Cleveland could not score after that. It was looking like a very disappointing day for Matthew Stafford, who a lot of people were very, very high on. When it was all said and done, worked out okay.
Yeah, no, he had a good day. He actually ended up having a good day, but I even tweeted out towards the end of the first half of the game, I said, the Steelers are being shut out. The Lions don't have a passing touchdown.
Yep.
All I heard all week in the DFS circles was Matthew Stafford and who you going to pair him up with. You do Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, you do both.
Yep.
And all that. And, another guy that I've always been a fan of, and he's starting to become relevant again. And I think if Detroit's going to be, wants to, make that playoff push and stuff,
with
Theo Riddick.
It's your boy.
Back-to-back double-digit weeks, yeah. And, he is a presence on that team.
Yeah, I disagree on Riddick. I don't think I'm going to start him when the buys are over. But as far as Stafford...
You've been proven wrong, though. I did hear that promo. You've been proven wrong the last couple of weeks.
With what?
Theo Riddick.
With Theo Riddick?
Well, look, the guy's a good pass-catching running back. I know early on, whatever he was.
How many yards did he have from scrimmage yesterday?
He had a total of 47.
I think the touchdown saved him, and it's not going to happen. So, look, at the end of the season, he keeps playing like this. I will say that I've been proven wrong, but I don't think I have been yet.
I'll say this. I think, Scott, like you, I know Jake has it. I think you guys have a bias against the pass-catching backs for the most part.
No,
maybe
I don't.
It's because you play the standard.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I think there's a bias.
Wait a minute. Okay. Now I'm going to prove you wrong. Who is the guy at this table who was absolutely praising Chris Thompson? That was me. And I love Alvin Kamara. I just, you know, I'm not buying it on Riddick.
Because you praise Chris Thompson.
I mean, you said I don't like pass catching backs.
Well, I mean,
and it's wrong because I like Chris Thompson. And I love Alvin Kamara. So that's wrong. I'm not buying it on the Riddick thing.
I don't know.
But hey, look, if you end up being right, I'll say you're right. But, you know, as far as
I usually do end up being right, Scott.
What?
I said I usually do end up being right.
Okay. All right. Well, talk like this.
I'm looking at Riddick's numbers. Look, it's been not the season I expected, but he still gets, for the most part, when he gets stuck, he's getting this 10 points, and that's what he is. He's a nice flex
over the last 2 weeks
in PPR. He's got 4 weeks of 10 points or more, so he's not this total write him off guy. And I think this is a much better team when he's involved in the passing game.
Okay, I'm not a big fan of his going forward. I don't think. I don't think I'm going to start him during my run unless... Yeah, I think he's a good bye week plugger, maybe. You know, I'll give you that. But I just don't see a lot of upside there with Abdullah getting all the carries, et cetera.
Yeah, but Abdullah is the running back. He's not a good runner. You know, I mean, he'll get some runs here or there. But his job is to catch the passes. And he is good. I think they're better when they use him in the red zone.
Yeah. As far as you always being right, I don't keep track of when you're wrong, so... You know, you're probably right there.
Scotty was right for one week here.
But the point I wanted to make about Stafford, though.
All right, I'll just stop talking.
Okay.
It's all right. I was trying to give you credit and get a word in here. Is that Matt may be right sometimes, but you were right here for once, Scotty, with Eric Ebron finally getting in the end zone yesterday, 2 for 39. How about that?
Yeah. It's Cleveland, you can bank it against the tight ends with them, too.
Damn right you can.
Yeah.
Brick hands caught it, baby. Shout out to Chris, NFFC Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro. In one of our leagues, he picked up Eric Ebron. We put him in. We had Ertz on the bye, and he got the touchdown. He had a good day.
Meanwhile, Hunter Henry, one catch for 7 yards.
Here it comes, baby.
Wow.
This bet's not over yet.
I don't see myself losing because I have the 7.5 over on the 7.5 on the touchdowns, and then I have Hunter Henry versus Eric Ebron. So, you know, I do have to order that Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the overconfidence is, like, really big to start the week.
I'm just a confident guy, Scott.
Yeah.
There you go.
Until you watch the Bills.
What did you want to say there?
I don't want the Bills to lose. I've been saying it all year.
Why? That's your team.
What did you want to
say? They're not going nowhere. My team has been middle of the pack at best for 17 years.
Hey, don't look now, by the way. So Hunter Henry on the year, 24 catches for 319 and 2. 24, 319 and 2. Eric Ebron, 20, 234 and 2. Don't look now, Scott. This one's not over yet.
I'm not going to lose, though.
Famous last words.
Over under what? 7.5
touchdowns
for Hunter Henry.
No, for Eric Ebron.
Okay, you're very safe. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. A lot more football to get to here on the Roto Express, including what the hell happened to Marvin Jones Jr. yesterday and Isaiah Crowell. How about that? Love to talk about it when Corey's not here. Let's do it next on the Roto Express.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Welcome
We're back here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt, you a little hot by any chance?
Sweating.
Yeah, same. Sweating bullets now. I feel it. I feel it even more now, to be honest with you.
I was going to ask you to put the air conditioner on, that little portable one we have.
Right.
I was like, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm always hot and stuff. And then I found out somebody turned the heat on.
That was me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's not the biggest infraction of all time. It's freezing in here when
it's
I got
pretty
in
bad,
here.
Scott.
Wear
freezing
a jacket.
Yeah, bring a sweater in.
Love it. Marvin Jones Jr. needed a jacket because he could not be found yesterday. One reception, 22 yards on two targets. Marvin Jones was a popular play yesterday, Scott, and he let you down big time.
Yeah, you know, Modica was wrong on him this week. but then again, so was I. It's like I had him top 10. But look, you know, he's been playing really well. Not every receiver is going to have a good week.
Look, if you own Marvin Jones,
I'll buy on him if you want to sell him.
You're a very happy person. And he's not the elite receiver that's going to get you that every single week. This was a dream matchup, obviously. But hey, it happens. And look, a lot of people were worried about Stafford, and he delivered. It just didn't happen to be Marvin Jones. Golden Tate is just like automatic. He really is. It's really fun to watch. He's a hell of a receiver.
Yeah, you know, Marvin Jones is a good receiver as well. He let you down. But Golden Tate, every single time he has an opportunity, he simply gets the job done. And we thought that he was going to be hurt for a little while here. And he comes back, doesn't even miss a damn game, comes back with those six catches, 97 yards and a touchdown yesterday. And I feel like he's a guy, Scott, that I personally constantly, not overlook, but underrate in the spring process. Kind of how I felt about Michael Crabtree. Like, I keep waiting for Golden Tate to fall off. It's not happening.
Yeah, when I was writing my lineup ranks this week, I put him number 2 on rotoexperts.com. And that's what I told people. I didn't tell them to check the link. I gladly told them that he was number 2. You know, this guy is the best receiver in the league in terms of yardage after the catch. That, you know, he began his career in Seattle. That's where they preach that, yardage after the catch. Him and Baldwin are both great at that. And, he's just a target monster. He's a target monster. Not much was thought of him when he came in the league, but over the last 2 years, he's proven himself to be one of the top PPR wide receivers.
I mean, look, absolutely. Since he's arrived in Detroit, 99, 90, 91 receptions. He's got 56 right now.
Can I get 90 again?
So, I mean, it's just the consistency is there. You know, is he going to... He's not that maybe that first-round receiver you expect and stuff like that, but it's just... It's money in the bank.
He's really that perfect wide receiver, too. Like, the perfect wide receiver, too, that you can grab. Next year, he'll be 30, so he's still in the prime of his career. A lot to like here about Golden Tate. Ameer Abdullah, before we move on to Cleveland, Ameer Abdullah had 11 carries yesterday, 52 yards, had the touchdown from about 10 yards out or so. Ameer Abdullah is the running back, Matt, that I know that we were both scared of. We don't own anywhere. We could see him going off. I don't obviously have that fear anymore. He's like that dude, and he actually reminds me a lot this season of Joe Mixon, in that it's just like games constantly, but they're finding the end zone every once in a while.
I have one share of Ameer Abdullah, and it's like I honestly think the Lions are best when they use both Abdullah and Riddick.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's adding both of those in the mix. They both have features that they thrive on. Abdullah, I don't think he's ever going to be that guy that is going to live up to the expectations that people had for. He stayed healthy this season. But, you know, I think that's a good analogy that you just made.
Yeah, he actually started calling for the ball more 2 weeks ago. And last week they gave it to him. He fumbled one of those. He scored on one of those. But they went back to him. Look, it seems like every game he rips off a sizable run, and then he's mediocre the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. But and he's like Mixon in terms of the point output and the yard, maybe a little bit more yardage, but he won't catch the passes that Mixon does. Even though Mixon was held to 1, you can see 3 to 5 from him every week. He's not involved in the passing game, but look, you know, I guess he's an okay flex.
Exactly, he's an okay flex. For Cleveland, a lot of people actually liked that Isaiah Crowell this week, and they were right. 16 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown.
The Crow Show's back.
The Crow Show's
last couple
back.
Of weeks.
The Crow Show's back, quietly. The Kershaw is back. Duke Johnson, 10 carries, 54 yards, and also chipped in with 6 catches for 34 yards. So he had 88 yards on the day. A good day for Duke Johnson, too. Both running backs could have been getting it done.
As long as DeShone Kizer is the quarterback, Duke Johnson has relevance. Duke Johnson, he had pretty much killed everybody else's fantasy value up until we've seen Crowell getting it done. But Duke Johnson, in a PPR format, is a guy you can put in there.
Yeah.
He's a great flex option.
I never liked Duke Johnson ever. But when you look at the numbers on the season for the Duke, he's got 230 yards on the ground. He's got 2 touchdowns. But through the air, 40-plus catches, 350 yards, another touchdown. And they just had some semblance of a quarterback, Scott. Like, he would be a real valuable fantasy commodity.
And he's always going to be game scripted
in a
positive
way.
You know, I'd rather have, say, a Duke Johnson than, say, a Theo Riddick.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. Also because...
You coming at me?
Also because...
I'll come at you. I got numbers.
The Cleveland Browns don't have any other options, right? Like, Duke Johnson's option number one.
Yeah, Duke Johnson's just been terrific. You look at these pass-catching backs that I supposedly hate, but, I like Duke Johnson.
You hate them all.
I mentioned a moment ago how Amir Abdullah reminded me of Joe Mixon, and yesterday's stat line was really exactly what I'm referring to. 9 carries, 37 yards, and the touchdown for Joe Mixon. Literally 9 carries in a game that the Bengals were up for a large majority of it, right? I mean, it was back and forth. It was a very, very close game. And your running back had 9 carries. Let me read you Joe Mixon's carries over the last 4 weeks. 7, 11, 13, 9. He has not had more than 62 yards rushing in a single game this season. That came way back in week number 3. He hasn't had more than 50 yards rushing since, I believe it was week 5. And it's insane that they don't give him the ball, but he has scored a touchdown in each of the last 2 games. Very weird year. And now Jeremy Hill's on the IR. You think all is well for Joe Mixon. And Scott, it's just so strange that they just don't give the ball to this talented running back.
No, they don't. It's they don't rely enough on the running game. They don't swing it out to enough out of the backfield either.
You're right.
Yeah, they just don't. But touchdowns and a few receptions here and there continue to give him a decent floor of 9 to 11 points every week in a PPR.
You'd like to see more rushes from Joe Mixon. I don't understand why.
It's
like they have he has to have single-digit rushing attempts. It seems like they want to cap him out on that. You do want to see him involved in the passing game as well. This is one of the things I was excited about him in the preseason. He can do both of these things. I think he can really help this team. And, the Bengals were actually, it looked like they might steal a game on the road and stuff. And God bless DeMarco Murray for getting a hat trick. How's DeMarco Murray owner? I needed that.
I'll talk about DeMarco Murray in just 1 second. But AJ Green, and Scott, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to have to say it anyway. You take away that 70-yard touchdown.
Why?
Because I want to prove a point. He had 4 catches for 45 yards in a game that everybody thought he was going to go scorch earth with against a burnable Tennessee secondary who, let's be very, very clear, last 4 weeks, they've been a top 3 secondary in the NFL in points allowed to fantasy wide receivers. They've been much, much better.
Brandon LaFell was having a game.
And I get that they've played some bad defense, some bad offenses, Cleveland included, but they've been much better. 4 for 45 before that 70-yard catch and run by A.J. Green. It counts, no doubt, but I think we thought we were going to get a monster game from A.J. Green.
You did get a monster game from A.J. Green. What were the final numbers?
5 for 115 and 1.
Yeah, that's a very, very good game. Oh. It doesn't matter that what it was up to that point. The game didn't stop there. That counts for a lot. That's going scorched earth when you get a 70-yard reception against that team.
I mean, Scott, you told me Julio Jones had a blow-up game. He had a better game last week. He said he hasn't had a blow-up game yet. AJ Green does this, and this counts as a blow-up game?
Oh, maybe not scorched earth, but it's very good. It's not 4 for 45, 8 points. It's not about that he did this up to this point. It matters what the final line is.
Yes, of course. He had 20. It was great. Like, when it was all said and done, there's no doubt about it. He had over 20 points. It was a great game by AJ Green. I'm not saying that.
Have we even had a game like that from Julio Jones this year?
Yeah, I mean, last week he had 6 for 112.
Did he have a touchdown with it?
He was right here.
No.
And he
Well, I don't know what our definition of scorched earth is, but it was a very good game.
Out of feeling yesterday, scorched earth.
It wasn't a scorched earth game, but it was very, very good.
Yeah, it was good.
Nothing to be disappointed about.
I was just surprised that until that 70-yard catch and run, he had four for 45.
It doesn't matter when it comes. It happened.
Yes, of course. All I'm saying is I was surprised it took until that moment for this.
Who cares if it comes with 1:30 left or 1:30 in, as long as it happens?
All right. Well, then they'll talk about to me that Eli Manning did all this in garbage time because it counts the same.
Well, he was playing. You know what? It counts the same. You're right.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? But you do that for context, okay?
And I'm giving context.
There's no context there.
What do you mean? It's the same
because
thing.
It happened within the flow of a competitive game.
It's the same thing.
What I'm saying is, though, I can't have confidence in Eli going forward. No, that's what I expect.
You should not.
AJ Green, we're talking about two different players there.
You should have confidence in AJ Green.
It doesn't matter if it happened with 1 second
left. Andy Dalton sucks. Andy Dalton is awful.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah, he's awful. Brandon LaFell, by the way, had a really nice game. 6 for 95 and a touchdown. I know a lot of people really liked Brandon LaFell this week, especially if AJ Green sat out. AJ Green did not sit out. But LaFell still had a nice game. Gio caught 5 passes, 38 yards in the PPR. I know Andy Dalton's numbers don't really look that awful. He had 2 touchdowns, 265 yards passing, no interceptions. But he had 2 very bad fumbles.
Yeah, he did. It's just... it's not good with Cincinnati. AJ Green and that's it.
Get excited for Hugh Jackson to be the coach of Cincinnati next year. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. Let's talk about DeMarco Murray. He was like scorched earth. Scorched earth for DeMarco Murray yesterday. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
DeMarco Murray's an interesting one, Scotty. We've done a lot of either or when it comes to DeMarco Murray. But I think the same holds true. When this dude is out there and he's healthy enough to play and he doesn't leave the game early, he's productive. 14 carries, 42 yards. That's not so great. Here was the great part. 2 touchdowns on the ground, 1 touchdown through the air, including the game winner. 3 touchdowns here for DeMarco Murray, who out-carried Derrick Henry, only had 10 less yards than Henry. But obviously, those 3 touchdowns were huge. Please turn your mic on, son.
There's one for me today.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay. I don't know if Murray was fully healthy yesterday. You know, the situations ended up being positive for him script-wise. You know, they got near the goal line, and I guess they were confident enough in his health, though, to not give it to Henry and give it to him. So... thinking that through, yeah, maybe he was, but we didn't see the yardage. We didn't see the explosive cuts necessarily. But I think, you know, we're getting back to a point with Murray, like he just came off of a knee injury. I think the hamstring might be behind him where you know, they trusted him enough to get him involved near the goal line. And they didn't pull him out for Derrick Henry. So that was a positive thing. In one of my leagues, I wasn't confident in his health. I started Doug Martin over Murray, and I definitely regret that.
Look, as long as he's getting the goal line carries and he's living around that area in the green zone, that's going to save DeMarco Murray. Because like Scott said, the yardage isn't there, but they keep going to the guy, and he's not getting off the field. So he's suiting up every week. So you're in a situation where you pretty much have to play him.
You do. And I agree, Scott. I don't think he was 100% healthy. I don't think he needs to be. I think as long as he doesn't re-injure himself during games, he's going to be productive. He is, you know, a goal line back a lot of the time. He's constantly in there on third downs as well. With the game on the line, it was DeMarco Murray that was in there, not Derrick Henry. And I think DeMarco Murray, as long as he's healthy going into this game, he can just not re-aggravate it. He's a force, man.
if he doesn't re-injure himself, he's going to trend in the right direction.
Yeah.
And what you're going to see is what DeMarco Murray does better than anybody in the league is plant and cut and make guys miss. Just like LeSean McCoy is maybe the best cutback runner in the league, and Kamara's starting to remind me of a little bit in terms of making people miss. But just a straight plant and then, you know, freeze the defender and then go where you want. He is the best. He is the best at it. You know, his acceleration, his change of direction, it's all very special. But here's the thing with Murray. He came out of college with a reputation for being injury prone. And the first few years in the league, you kind of saw that. The last 2 years or so, it went away. But now it's coming back.
Well, I think he's just a little older now. I mean, he's a little bit different than when he came out of college. He's a little bit older.
He did get banged up, though, his first few years in the league.
And then he survived for...
Then he survived for a good 2 year period. You forgot about the narrative, but now it's creeping back.
The thing is, what we heard in the preseason towards the end of it, he had that hamstring. Mm-hmm. He seemed never to be fully healthy. He never took that week off. I think it was in fear of Derrick Henry taking his job, and he just wanted to be on the field. He's a competitor. Mm-hmm. He wants to be out there. He wants to get paid again next year as well. I see next season.
We all do.
It's like Matt said.
You know, it's like Matt said. When somebody's coming for your job, you perform very well. I mean, you know, ever since Terry Collins got fired as the manager of the Mets, he said he was coming to FNTSY and going to take Modica's job, and Modica's really stepped up his performance over the last month.
Receiving-wise, Delanie Walker had 6 catches for 63 yards. Leading the man that had the most targets, though, that was Corey Davis. He had 4 for 48. He stretched for the touchdown. It was that stupid fumble touchback rule, which is idiotic. And
that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been happening a lot this year.
That rule has to change.
I think it's like the fourth time that's happened.
If not
this year.
More. That rule needs to change. It's a dumb rule.
But if they're not going to change the rule, they got to stop reaching out for that.
You're right.
Yeah. You have to have the presence of mind. Like, Earl Thomas twice in the last 2 years has had the presence of mind to whip the ball away right there. You know, the offensive player like Corey Davis has to have it in mind that, you know, that you run the risk of doing that.
But ultimately, the other way is just like you stretch, you hold on to the ball, it's a touchdown, right? So it's literally the biggest of extremes.
It's a gamble. It's true. I guess it's like, you're right, it's like throwing an interception.
I was watching that replay and I knew he wasn't going to get the touchdown, but I was like, come on.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. It was just clearly out, and now you're just like, I'm before the end zone. Like,
I think you have to be excited about Corey Davis.
I think so too. I think you have to be as well. Those 10 targets, he was on the field a lot. I know he only had 4 for 48. It's less than Rashard Matthews, less than Delanie Walker. But I think he should have every right to be excited about Corey Davis. All right, we take a break here. We'll come back. We go live on TV. And we have a lot more to talk about, including a wild one between Jacksonville and Los Angeles, Green Bay and Chicago, and the high-flying Los Angeles Rams. We'll take a break. We'll continue on right after this.